able to give thanks adequately for these he grieves, and then again marveling at the grace of God he is consoled. At times he weeps painfully, at times because of his love. His tears are made sweeter than honey by the spiritual joy that comes from ineffable humility. While in truth he longs for God's will to be done in everything and abhors every honor and comfort, when he regards himself as lower than all other men and does not even think that he is anybody at all, but holds himself indebted to God and to all men as much as to God, then he will consider trials and afflictions to be great blessings, and enjoyment and comfort to be extremely harmful. For trials and afflictions he longs with all his soul, wherever they may come from. Enjoyment and comfort he fears, even though they may be sent by God to test him. While he is experiencing the tears of which we have spoken, his intellect begins to attain purity and to return to its pristine state, that is, to the state of natural spiritual knowledge which is lost through its enmity with the passions. By some this is called moral judgment, since the intellect then sees things as they are by nature. By others it is called spiritual insight, since he who possesses it knows something at least of the hidden mysteries, that is, of God's purpose in the Holy Scripture and in every created thing. Such natural knowledge springs from discernment and enables us to perceive the inner principles of things sensible and intelligible. On account of this, it is known as the contemplation of created beings, that is, of God's creation. It is natural and comes from purity of intellect. But if for the common good a person receives the gift of prophecy, he has attained something that transcends nature. For only God foreknows all things, as well as the purpose for which he created each thing and inspired each word of the Holy Scripture. And it is by grace that he grants such knowledge to the saints. Thus the contemplation of sensible and intelligible creation, sometimes called moral judgment, is also a form of spiritual insight and of natural spiritual knowledge, natural since it pre-exists in nature. But when the passions darken the intellect, it is lost, and unless God removes the passions through our practice of the virtues, the intellect remains blinded. The gift of prophecy, however, is of a different order, for it transcends nature and is granted only by grace. Yet even natural spiritual knowledge cannot be attained without God, though it is natural, for the pagan Greeks perceived many things, but, as St. Basil the Great said, they were unable to discern God's purpose in created beings, or even God himself, since they lacked the humility and the faith of Abraham. A person is said to have faith when, on the basis of what he can see, he believes in what we cannot see. But to believe in what we can see of God's works is not the same as to believe in him who teaches and proclaims the truth to us. Hence the trials sent to test our faith are visible, while God's assistant comes to us invisibly. In this way, the person who in faith endures these trials patiently will discover, once they have passed, that he has acquired spiritual knowledge, through which he knows things previously unknown to him, and that blessings have been bestowed on him. As a result, he gains humility together with love both towards God as his benefactor and towards his fellow men for the healing wrought by God through them. He regards this as something natural, and yet as a debt which fills him with the desire to keep God's commandments. He hates the passions as his enemies and pays scant attention to the body, considering it an obstacle to his attainment of dispassion and the knowledge of God that is of hidden wisdom. This wisdom is called hidden. If someone seeks for success and pleasure, comfort and glory in this world, then he loves the wisdom of this world. But if someone struggles for what is contrary to these things, if he suffers, practices self-control, and endures all kinds of afflictions and disgrace for the sake of the kingdom of heavens, then he loves the wisdom of God. The first longs to attain material benefits, secular learning and secular power, and often suffers because of this. But the second shares the sufferings of Christ. Thus the first places all his hope in the things of this world, desiring to possess them even though they are transitory and hard to come by, while the second is hidden from the eyes of the foolish, as Holy Scripture puts it, but is clearly revealed in the world to come, when everything hidden is disclosed. Moreover, according to St. John Chrysostom, the knowledge of what is hidden, that is, the contemplation of the divine scriptures and of created beings, is given as an encouragement to those who grieve in this world. For from faith is born fear, and from fear comes inward grief. This in turn produces humility, which gives rise to discernment. Discernment finally gives birth to spiritual insight and, by God's grace, to the gift of prophecy. Through the prayers of Holy Fathers, Lord Jesus Christ.